Open your Bible, if you will, to John chapter number 10. I want to read the first 10 verses of that chapter in the Gospel of John, verse number 10, or chapter number 10, and begin reading with verse number 1 down through verse number 10. Stand with me, if you will, please, for the reading of the Word and for a moment of prayer. And John begins by saying, "Verily, verily." John uses this a lot. Where it's used double, it means that it's an attention getter. And verily, verily means truly, truly. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege of being in church today, and thank you for everyone that's come this way this morning. And we just ask that your blessing and be upon the service and upon your servant as we stand to preach the message of God. And we know, Lord, that we can't do this without you and without your help. And I just pray that you'd speak to our heart in a very, very special way, and help me, Lord, to say the things that you want said in the way that you'd have them said, that it might be a blessing and an encouragement in the lives of these here today who are present. And God, that we'd honor and glorify your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. Notice that Jesus says here that I am the door. Verse number 9. I am the door. Doors are a passageway, and they serve two purposes: to enter or to exit. Lots of folks have superstitions. And if they come to visit you, if they come in the front door, they want to leave through the front door. Doesn't matter if I come in the front door and go out the side door or the back door, long as you talk nice to him and give me something to eat. If you give me very much to eat, I may not even leave for a long time, I'll tell you. But it doesn't bother me. But that's what doors are for. You enter and you exit the same door. You come in the front door, you go out the same door. You come in the front door, go out the back door, your choice. But you can come in or out either one of the doors. And that's what they're for. And that's what Jesus said. And by the way, he uses them in both ways, to enter or to exit. He talks about about this. And it's interesting to do a study about doors, what the Bible's got to say about doors. It's interesting. Most any words you think about that's in common use today, that words that are used in the Bible, it's interesting to do a study of them and what goes on. Jesus begins here in verse number 1 of chapter 10 by saying, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. Now, sheepfolds were a place where they kept their sheep in of a night. They'd bring them in for protection. They had an opening, a door. And they would have walls built, and sometimes the walls would be high, but they protected their sheep inside that corral or fold, sheepfold, whatever you want to call it, and they would bring them in, and they would keep them in, and they would take them out the next day to pasture. But they were in there for protection, and the Lord says, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He says, that's not the way you get in. He said, a thief will come in over the wall or any way that he can get in. It doesn't really matter. My dad used to tell us that you just put locks on doors to keep the honest people honest. And he's pretty much telling the truth. Somebody, first time I've ever known that a building, that little utility building up here on the end of the lot, somebody went in there the other day, pretty bad evidently. Of course, that little old hasp wasn't too strong, and they took a crowbar, took something other, and broke it off, you know. It's dangerous, folks, to go in that building up there. You're taking your life in your hand. Hey, you've got to pick a way to get through there. If you want to get something out, first thing you've got to do is kick something out of your road so you can get to it, you know, and throw something else back and keep throwing it out. You know, like old that old big guy used to be on a commercial, played football. He says he just a big fella, Smith, what do you, Smith? But anyhow, big guy. He said, now what I do, he says, I just go in the backfield and just grab the whole bunch and just keep throwing them out until I find the one with the ball. That's the way you got to get stuff out of that building. But a thief don't care. They're looking for whatever they can find. Evidently, I don't know what they were looking for up there. But anyhow, that's what he's talking about, is a thief. And Dad used to tell us, said, you just lock the building to keep honest people honest. Says, you know, that he said, if a thief wants in there, he'll usually find a way. He'll find a way to get in there. And that's pretty well said. And so, but when a thief is a thief. Said, he that climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And he says to him, the porter openeth the door. Evidently in the corrals, when they had doors to the opening, when they would come, somebody would come with their sheep, they'd bring all their sheep in together. You say, preacher, they got mixed up. No, they didn't. They didn't get mixed up. You just brought them all in together. Now, it's easy to mix up sheep, but when the shepherd, every morning, when they get ready to go out, bring their sheep inside, they'd stay inside with them during the night. The next morning, when this shepherd got ready to go out, he called his sheep, and only his sheep left. Now, the rest of them moved. They understood that. You say, preacher, that sounds nutty to me. It may sound nutty to you, but that's the way it worked. And if you ever worked with animals, you'll realize they may not understand the language, but they understand the voice. They understand the voice. They understand that. Whatever you're saying. I remember Granny Reynolds was talking one time about Grandpa had a team of horses, and I've heard him talk about them so much. And he trained them. He broke them to work when they were just real young, and he really liked them horses. Jam and Honey. You remember those folks? Some of you people don't remember it. Those people on the radio, Jam Up and Honey. You remember they were funny people. You remember them? They were funny people. That's what he called his horses. He called them Jam and Honey. And he moved away from that farm. He was there for a long time. And one of the horses died real early, and the other one lived a long, long time. But and Grandpa said that, you make an attachment with your animals. You take a horse out in the field, and you work him all day, and you don't have to beat him, and you just talk to him, and there's a relationship. But this horse was sick, and Grandpa was coming out to help doctor him, and he was in the barn. And Grandpa said that when he got down next to the barn, he was talking to somebody, and that horse heard his voice and started to neigh. Understood who it was. They understand that. I understand that the shepherds took care of their sheep. They followed them out. The next guy called his sheep, and his flock went out till they got them all out. This one guy went and he to visit with them some years ago, and he said that he wanted to call these sheep out and lead them out to pasture, and the shepherd said it'd be fine, but said they won't follow you. He said, I've listened to you for days, and I can say it just exactly like you say. He said, but they won't follow you, but you can try. You're welcome to try it. And he got up the next morning. The shepherd stayed seated, and he got up and called them sheep. He thought exactly like the shepherd did, and they never moved. They understand the voice. Isn't it great to have a relationship with God and to understand the voice of God? Isn't it great that even though old Satan, old Slewfoot, can do a lot of imitations, but there's a difference? You see, the voice of God corresponds with the Bible. If you're having a question about whether something is right or wrong, and you're not sure what to do, look in the book. You see, it's in there. But the voice of God, it's amazing. He says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The shepherd always led the sheep. Pastors are to be leaders. I hear things sometimes about pastors that really bothers me. And I don't mean to be bad-mouthing folks. I do such a poor job, I've got no right to bad-mouth anybody. But a shepherd, first of all, the bigger the responsibility, the greater need for a servant's heart if you're going to serve people. You've got to have a servant's heart. And a pastor has to have a servant's heart. And he can only be a leader. If I have to drive you, I don't want to be your pastor anymore. You say, preacher, are you serious? I'm dead serious. Because that won't work. You've got to be led. And I think that a pastor, I think any Christian worker ought to be a leader by example as well as by instruction that they give. They need to be a leader. But it has to be follow the leader. Sometimes folks today don't understand that. Not even that philosophy, and that's not always true in church, folks, and I'm sorry, but it's not always true. But I've never tried other things. You know, I don't badmouth people. And by the way, I don't go out in the community and badmouth you to other people, and I don't want you to do me like that either. If you want to call me a dirty low-down skunk, call me a dirty low-down skunk while we're somewhere by ourselves. That's the way you do. You got to be a leader. That's what the Lord is talking about here. And when you work with the sheep, they're used a lot in the Bible, and especially when it's talking about the work of the Lord. And so it says in verse 6 here that the Lord spoke this parable unto them, and they didn't understand what he was talking about. They couldn't understand what he's talking about. Then the Lord explained this parable here, beginning in verse number 7. Then Jesus said unto them again, you know, when you're trying to teach somebody something, you tell them what you want to tell them. If they don't understand it, sometimes you have to find different words to tell them. I don't always understand medical terms. Don't always understand them. And some of the doctors, especially those who are from other countries, and they ought to do pretty good. They handle the King's English about like I do. I ought to understand them pretty good. And I don't have much trouble with them, to be honest about the ones I know. But sometimes I just don't understand the terms that they use. And oftentimes, I'll ask the doctor, would you explain that to me, what you're talking about? And the doctor always finds a way to explain that for an elementary fellow like me, that I understand it. You see, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. I remember Dr. Green was talking to one of the fellows, the one that does the kidney work And I was in the room and I started to leave, and he said, all I'm going to do is talk. He said, that's all I'm going to do. He had several these guys and girls, I guess, with him from down at the college in Johnson City. But anyhow, and I just backed up against the wall, and he was talking to this man, a friend of mine, Mr. Bowers, and he was having trouble. He was having a terrible time. And he finally thought that he'd found out what the problem was, and he did, and he's done well since then. And he talked to him, finished up what he was saying, you know, well, I understood some of the things, what I listened to. No, I listened, you know, to try to find out something. When dumb as I am, you need to find out whatever you can, you know. And when Dr. Green got through talking, he turned to Mr. Bowers, who's laying there in the bed. He said, now, Mr. Bowers, he said, I told these folks here exactly what I told you yesterday, only I just used some different words today to tell them. The Lord was that kind of a teacher, a leader. If I teach over your heads, old Brother Gypsy Smith, a great preacher, a great man of God, and he said his daddy told him one time when he was just a young man and started in the ministry, and he said, son, unless you need to use it to make a special point, don't ever use a word in your sermon with more than two syllables. He says, you preach it, Lehman Strauss says, a professor in the college used to tell them, says, boys, you keep the goodies down on the low shelves where the children can get them. If I'll preach so that the youngest person in this congregation can understand what I'm saying, then nobody's going to miss the message. But if I preach to where they don't understand it, you may get it, but they won't get it. And I've missed somebody, you see. So, and the Lord says here, let me explain this to you. He says, I am the door to the sheep. Of the sheep or for the sheep, whichever one you want to use there. And that word here is, he said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, verily, verily, truly, truly, he says, I'm telling you that I'm the door to the sheep. You've got to get in by the door. The wall is too high in the Lord's temple to climb over the wall. You've got to come in by the door. He says, I am the door. And it's so important that we realize that. And then he says in verse number 8, all that came before me are thieves and robbers. He says they wasn't telling you the truth. And then he says in the last part of that verse number 8, but the sheep did not hear them. And the word hear means that they did not listen to them. If I preach you something that's not the truth, don't you follow that. You say, but preacher, you're the pastor. I know that, but I'm a human. I'm a human. You remember that the preacher is just like everybody else. This man sitting on the front porch one day, and the preacher and two other guys are walking down the road. And he hollered at his wife, said, I want you to come out here and say, here goes two men and a preacher. A preacher is a person. And if I tell you wrong, you say, but preacher, I can straighten you out. Oh, yes, you can too. I've been straightened out a lot of times. I mean, you know, I've been straightened out a lot of times. And I've needed a lot of times. But he says, those that come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. And then he tells us again in verse number 9, I am the door. I am the door. And I like what he's got to say in this verse. I am the door. And he says, by me, if any man. Notice that word any, and that word man is not talking about the male species. It's talking about people in general. That could fit for any, that could fit for man or woman or child, anybody, any person in the world. And that's all it says. If you're a human being, the Lord says the door is wide open for you to come in. If any person, that by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The Lord never turns people away. The door is still open today, and the Lord is still inviting people to come in. But he's not going to go out and drag them in. He's not going, that's not the way he does it. He says anybody that will come through that door will be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. They're going to find the spiritual food. They're going to find what they need. So if any man come in that door, Jesus quotes some scripture from Isaiah chapter number 22. And let me, this verse is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 7. And he says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. The Lord is telling John to write this in the letter to the church at Philadelphia, a church that was a great church. It's one of the two churches that was, nothing was said about it but praise. There was two churches in among the seven that John writes to in chapters 3 and 4, I believe it is, or 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation. And there's seven letters and seven churches. And five of those churches was told they needed repentance. They needed repentance, but not Philadelphia. That was a good church. That was a faithful church. And Lehman Strauss, in the book that he wrote on Revelation, talks about the church has a historic meaning. It has a prophetic meaning as well. And he says this church probably was the church that started or sometime around the Reformation and ended and started getting weaker and ending sometimes around the turn of the 20th century, the early 1900s, when great revivals was in the country, when whole towns would get right with God, politicians get saved. People that would run the bars would get saved and shut them down. Folks would stop sinning when they got right with God. They'd go out of the sinning business. And he says that's the church age. And the Lord says, I'm the one that opens that door, and nobody can shut it. Or I shut that door, and nobody can open it. Remember that at the door. And let me read that verse to you from Isaiah 22:22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. That's a verse that's talking about the messianic promise, the prophecy that's in the book of Isaiah chapter 22 and verse number 22. So Jesus is the door. The door is open. The door is open. Nobody can shut that door. Nobody can keep you from living for God. It doesn't matter what you've done, nobody can keep you from getting saved. You know, sometimes we try to figure out who's qualified to be saved and who is not. We can't do that. We're not smart enough to do that. We don't have the authority to do that. We bring them to the Lord. I like what somebody said one time. He was a fisherman. And he says, we don't try to figure out, says, and we don't try to make people right ourselves. He says, what we need to do is, need to go fishing and catch the fish and bring them in and let somebody else clean them. You know, that's the way you do. So we bring sinners to the Lord. Let the Lord clean them up. Let the Lord save them. Let God do the saving. We can't do that by ourselves. We just can't. So the door is open here to this church in Philadelphia. And nobody can close that door. But there are times when doors are closed and can't be opened. You remember in Matthew chapter 25, that's Matthew's 25 is kind of a whole chapter of parables, that the 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. The wise took oil in their vessels, but the foolish did not. While the bridegroom tarried, they waited. When the voice was heard, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. They rose, they trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. They said, no, we can't do that. You have to go buy for yourself. While they were gone, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went into the marriage, and the door was shut. Remember what he said, I open the door, no man can close it. I close the door, nobody can open it. After a while, those virgins came back and rapped on the door. He answered from inside. He said, I don't know who you are. I don't know you. You can't come in. The door is shut now. It's closed. It's closed. And that's sad. That's sad. The door is open now, but one of these days it's going to be shut. Noah and the ark. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 16, it talks about the ark. After Noah got in the ark, and they went in, and they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. When Noah entered into the ark, Noah, his three sons, their wives, and all the animals had already been loaded on the ark. 7 days was left for a final altar call for folks to come in. Nobody come in. The rain started coming down, and God closed the door. It was closed from the outside, and God closed the door. And nobody could open the door. Nobody else got in. Nobody else got in. That's sad. That's sad. But Jesus says, I'm the door. If you'll enter in by me, you're going to be saved and you're going to find pastors. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. This letter here from, there are several verses of it, 14 through 22, I believe, in Revelation chapter 3. This church letter is written to the church that prophetically that we're living in now. Started somewhere around the turn of the 20th century, the early 1900s. Things started downhill. When we think about history, I'm 71 years old. I was born in 1934. People that lived when I was born could not believe their eyes nor their ears if they would come back today. Really. That's the truth. They couldn't believe that. That's in 70 years. We have never seen such a change. Even the knowledge of man changes so quickly. Took it many years for knowledge to double. And now it only takes it a matter of hours for knowledge to double. Fellow, a neighbor of mine worked at Radio Shack, and I was looking at a computer. And he said, Walter, he says, I can sell you a computer. This was back several years ago. He said, I can sell you a computer, and you take it home and set it up. And he says, technology is changing so fast, by the time you get it set up, it's obsolete. You got other things you need to have on it. All of these things are changing, you see. We see that. That's it in this day. That church there was a cold, lukewarm church. Haphazard, unconcerned, really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. And the Lord says to that church that we're living in now, he says, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, if any person, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And that word sup is talking about when you go to somebody's house and have a meal with them. You fellowship together. You commune with one another. That's what he's talking about. And the door today is open. I don't know when it's going to be closed. But the door today is open. If the Lord speaks to your heart, you need to listen to him this very day. When it's closed, it'll be too late. A friend of mine I used to work with was in World War II. And he was telling about one of the maneuvers they had. They were on a ship. And the ship was hit with a torpedo. And blowed a hole in the side of it. And he says they were ordered to come to the higher floors or higher decks, whatever they call it on the ship. And they was getting up to the place where they were safe. And says when the water got so bad, they were ordered to close that trap door, was what he called it. A door that would shut off that deck from all the rest of it. And he talked about how sad that was. Those who didn't make it to the top deck when the door was closed, they were at the mercy of the sea. And if you don't get in before the door is closed, there's no more opening. And the Lord loves you. He loves you. And folks, I've been on the outside, I've been on the inside. I'd rather be on the inside looking out. That song has that effect. And you need to get right with the Lord. If you're not saved, you need to listen to him. I stand at the door and knock. If you've backslid on the Lord, the Lord's asking you to let him back in. He loves you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to show you the right things in life. And above all, he wants to take you home to heaven when life down here is over. Would you bow your heads, please? And Brother Omer, would you come and sing us a song? Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd speak to this congregation, to every heart, to every soul. And you understand, God, everything in each one's life. And I just pray that you'd just speak to souls and help them to respond and listen to you. And if there are those here today who needs to come and make things right with God, help them to do so while they've got time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing?
264.
Page number 264. Sing, if you will, as we sing. Come, if you will, as we sing.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you.
He's waiting for you to come in before he closes the door. But one day he's going to close it. Come if you will.